recognition and consummated in the work itself. Efficiency is a rewarded performance and consummated only in its value for the apparatus. With the majority of the population, the formal freedom of the economic subject was gradually submerged in the efficiency with which he performed services assigned to him. The world had been rationalized to such an extent, and this rationality has become such a social power that the individual could know better than adjust himself without reservation. Veblen was among the first to derive the new matter of factness from the machine process, from which it spread over the whole society. The share of the operative workman in the machine industry is typically that of an attendant or assistant whose duty it is to keep peace with the machine process and to help out with workman-like manipulation at points where the machine process engaged is incomplete. His work supplements the machine process rather than makes use of it. On the contrary, the machine process makes use of the workman. The ideal mechanical contrivance in this technological system is the automatic machine. Footnote 8, text. The machine processes requires a knowledge oriented to a ready apprehension of opaque facts in passably exact quantitative terms. This class of knowledge presumes a certain intellectual or spiritual attitude on the part of the workman, such an attitude as will readily apprehend and appreciate matter of fact and will guard against the suffusion of this knowledge with putative, animistic, or anthropomorphic subtleties, quasi-personal interpretation of the observed phenomena and of their relations to one another. Footnote 9, text. Page 143. As an attitude, matter of factness is not bound to the machine process. Under all forms of social production, men have taken and justified their motives and goals from the facts that made up their reality, and in doing so, they have arrived at the most diverging philosophies. Matter of factness animated ancient materialism and hedonism. It was responsible in the struggle of modern physical science against spiritual oppression and in the revolutionary realization of the Enlightenment. The new attitude differs from all these in the highly rational compliance which typifies it. The fact directing man's thought and actions are not those of nature, which must be accepted in order to be mastered, or those of society, which must be changed because they no longer correspond to human needs and to potentialities. Rather, are they those of the machine process, which itself appears as the embodiment of rationality and expediency. Let us take a simple example. A man who travels by automobile to a distant place chooses his route from the highway maps. Towns, lakes, and mountains appear as obstacles to be bypassed. The countryside is shaped and organized by the highway. Numerous signs and posters tell the travelers what to do and think. They even request his attention to the beauties of nature or the hallmarks of history. Others have done the thinking for him, and perhaps for the better. Convenient parking spaces have been constructed where the broadest and most surprising view is open. Giant advertisement tells him when to stop and find the pause that refreshes. And all this is indeed for his benefit, safety and comfort. He receives what he wants. Business, techniques, human needs, and nature are wielded together into one rational and expedient mechanism. He will fare best who follows its direction, subordinating his spontaneity to the anonymous wisdom which ordered everything for him. The decisive point is that this attitude, which dissolves all actions into sequences of semi-spontaneous reactions to prescribed mechanical norms, is not only perfectly rational, but also perfectly reasonable. All protests is senseless and the individual who would insist on his freedom of action would become a crank. There is no personal escape from the apparatus which has mechanized and standardized the world. It is a rational apparatus combining utmost expediency with utmost convenience, saving time and energy, removing waste, adapting all means to the end, anticipating consequences, sustaining calculability and security. Page 144. In manipulating the machine, man learns that obedience to the direction is the only way to obtain desired results. Getting along is identical with adjustment to the apparatus. There is no room for autonomy. Individualistic rationality has developed into efficient compliance with the pre-given continuum of means and ends. The latter absorbs the liberating efforts of thought, and the various functions of reason converge upon the unconditional maintenance of the apparatus. It has been frequently stressed that scientific discoveries and inventions are shelved as soon as they seem to interfere with the requirements of profitable marketing. Footnote 10, text. The necessity which is the mother of inventions is to a great extent the necessity of maintaining and expanding the apparatus. Inventions have their chief use in the service of business, not of industry, and their great further use is in the furtherance, or rather the acceleration, of obligatory social amenities. They are mostly of a competitive nature, and any technological advantage gained by one competitor forthwith becomes a necessity to all the rest on pain of defeat, so that one might as well say that in the monopolistic system, invention is the mother of necessity. Footnote 11, text. Everything cooperates to turn human instincts, desires, and thoughts into channels that feed the apparatus. Dominant economic and social organizations do not maintain their power by force. They do it by identifying themselves with their faith and loyalties of the people. Footnote 12, text. And the people have been trained to identify their faith and loyalties with them. The relationship among men are increasingly mediated by the machine process. But the mechanical contrivances which facilitate intercourse among individuals also intercept and absorb their libido, thereby diverting it from the all-too-dangerous realm in which the individual is free of society. The average man hardly cares for any living being with the intensity and persistence he shows for his automobile. The machine that is adored is no longer dead matter, but becomes something like a human being. And it gives back to man what it possesses, the life of the social apparatus to which it belongs. Human behavior is outfitted with the rationality of the machine process, and this rationality has a definite social content. The machine process operates according to the laws of mass production. Expediency in terms of technological reason is at the same time expediency in terms of profitable efficiency and rationalization, is at the same time monopolistic standardization and concentration. The more rationally the individual behaves and the more lovingly he attends to his rationalized work, the more he succumbs to the frustrating aspects of this rationality. Page 145. He is losing his ability to abstract from the special form in which rationalization is carried through, and is losing his faith in its unfulfilled potentialities. His matter-of-factness, his distrust of all values which transcend the fact of observation, his resentment against all quasi-personal and metaphysical interpretations, his suspicion of all standards which relate to observable order of things, the rationality of the apparatus to the rationality of freedom. This whole attitude serves all too well those who are interested in perpetuating the prevailing forms of matter of fact. The machine process requires a consistent training in the mechanical apprehension of things, and this training in turn promotes conformity to the schedule of living, a degree of trained insight, and a facile strategy in all manner of quantitative adjustments and adaptations. Footnote 13. Text. The mechanics of conformity spread from the technological to the social order. They govern performance not only in the factories and shops, but also in the offices, school, assemblies, and finally in the realm of relaxation and entertainment. Individuals are stripped of their individuality, not by external compulsion, but by the very rationality under which they live. Industrial psychology correctly assumes that the disposition of men are fixed emotional habits, and as such, they are quite dependable reaction patterns. Footnote 14, text. True, the force which transforms human performance into a series of dependable reactions is an external force. The machine process imposes upon men the pattern of mechanical behavior, and the standards of competitive efficiency are the more enforced from outside, the less independent the individual competitors become. But man does not experience this loss of his freedom as the work of some hostile and foreign force. He relinquishes his liberty to the dictum of reason itself. The point is that today the apparatus to which the individual is to adjust and adapt himself is so rational that individual protest and liberation appears not only as hopeless, but as utterly irrational. The system of life created by modern industry is one of the highest expediency, convenience, and efficiency. Reason once defined in these terms becomes equivalent to an activity which perpetuates this world. Rational behavior becomes identical with a matter of factness which teaches reasonable submissiveness and thus guarantees getting along in the prevailing order. At first glance, the technological attitude rather seems to imply the opposite of resignation. Teleological and theological dogmas no longer interfere with man's struggle with matter. He develops his experimental energies without inhibition. Page 146. There is no constellation of matter which he does not try to break up, to manipulate and change according to his will and interest. This experimentalism, however, frequently serves the effort to develop a higher efficiency of hierarchical control over men. Technological rationality may easily be placed into the service of such control in the form of scientific management. It has become one of the most profitable means for streamlined autocracy. F.W. Taylor's exposition of scientific management shows within it the union of exact science, matter of factness, and big industry. Scientific management attempts to substitute in the relation between employers and workers the government of fact and law for the rule of force and opinion. It substitutes exactly knowledge for guesswork and seeks to establish a code of natural laws equally binding upon employers and workmen. Scientific management thus seeks to substitute in the shop discipline natural law in place of a code of discipline based upon the caprice and arbitrary power of men. No such democracy has ever existed in industry before. Every protest of every workman must be handled by those on the management side, and the right and wrong of the complaint must be settled, not by the opinion either of the management or the workman, but by the great code of laws which has been developed and which must satisfy both sides. Footnote 15.